Creator, we give you thanks for all you are and all you bring to us, for our visit within your creation. Give us strength to live together with respect and commitment as we grow in your spirit, for you are God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you so much for having me here today. I've heard about your community, I've heard about your services, and it's a great honor for me to be here today. And I'd like to thank you so much for the acknowledgement of the land and the people. It's something that I love to hear happen. It's a reminder to us that God's people were here long before European settlers came to this land. My name is Melanie Delvey. And now I go around and people always say to me, what does an animator do? And I say, well, I'm not very good at drawing. I don't work for Disney. But my role is to keep alive and bring to life the conversation in the post-truth and reconciliation context, reconciliation and justice seeking. And another reason I think it's funny is because I did not see this as part of my life plan. And the reason I didn't is because my name is Melanie Delva, and I'm also a recovering racist. I was raised in a very rural community in Manitoba that was near to one of the large Métis communities and next to the Tutnawazabeg First Nation. And I was taught from a very early age that the Indians, as my family called them, were at best lazy, unintelligent, ungrateful, and at worst were not worthy of a continued presence on this earth. My internal world started to shift as I began to review thousands of pages of records in our archives for transfer to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission when I was archivist. The Anglican Church, as one of the churches that ran residential schools, is a signatory to the Residential School Settlement Agreement. And this is an agreement that addressed the largest class action lawsuit in Canadian history by survivors of the residential schools. And other than financial obligations, the only other legal obligations the churches had under this agreement was the production of records. And that's where the archivists came in. My own journey began the first time I set eyes on a file of correspondence in our archival records regarding the death of a 7-year-old boy in St. George's Residential School in Lytton, B.C. The correspondence was between the principal of the school, the Indian agent, the local agent in charge of Indian affairs, and the parents and the family of the boy. The family wanted to know what had happened, how the boy had died, and what had happened to his body. The principal and the Indian agent were going back and forth in the correspondence, trying to decide for themselves what had actually happened and what or how they could tell this to the family of a bereft and desperate boy. The truth of the matter was that the boy had died of influenza and had been buried in an unmarked grave on the school playground. But to my knowledge, the parents were never told this. I remember reading the file. I remember feeling numb. And then I vomited in my garbage can, and I sat shakily at my desk for about 20 minutes. And then I put the file back into the box and pulled out the next file, and there was another story. And then the next file, and the next file, and box after box. I bore witness to the greatest human rights violation in our nation's history, and that which the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada has called cultural genocide. I was called away from all I thought I knew, from the beauty of a history of a country I thought I had understood and was so proud of, out of the bubble of my beliefs and my prejudices. This was the beginning of a journey of devastation and, I believe, redemption for me. In fact, one of the reasons that I believe that reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people is possible at any level, let alone an institutional church level, is that I see my own journey of reconciliation and movement into the light as a microcosm of what is possible when we no longer fear the light of truth and the gospel of reconciliation. Because I do believe that the gospel of Christ in all its complexities is an ongoing call to reconciliation with God, with ourselves, and with others, whoever we think the other may be. Today's gospel reading from Mark is literally the calling of the disciples. What strikes me most about Jesus' calling of these disciples is that he calls them from their comfort zones. And more than that, out of everything that is familiar and meaningful to them. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. Likely they came from generations of fishermen, had only ever known hard labor on the water and knew no other life. And here Jesus calls them from this life they know and love to complete unknown, fishing for people. What does that even mean? James and John are also fishermen mending their nets. Not only does Jesus call them from their life and work, but he calls them to leave their father, Zebedee, their family. He calls them to leave their commitments, their comforts, their loves. I wonder what familiar things, what life we know, what comforts Jesus calls us away from in our journey of reconciliation, both individually and as a church. Maybe we are comfortable in lives of privilege that have us believing that racialized people have the same opportunities anyone does.
Hi.
And a belief that any disadvantage they may have is due to their own actions or inactions. It's certainly more comfortable not to ask how we have stood by while the child welfare system and the prison system become the new version of the residential schools, as McLean's magazine and the Federal Minister of Indigenous Services herself have all asserted. It's more comfortable not to crunch the numbers and realize that over 100 Indigenous communities in Canada do not have access to clean drinking water. Maybe we are comfortable in overconsumption of resources, causing climate change which disproportionately affects the lives of Indigenous peoples around the world. I spent 2 weeks in the Diocese of the Arctic and saw this firsthand with the Inuit there. Maybe we are comfortable not asking questions, at least not difficult or complex ones, about what it means to live, work, and worship on unceded lands inhabited by Indigenous peoples for thousands of years before European settlers arrived. For me, it was a life of unquestioned white privilege and assumptions about Indigenous peoples that I was called out of. My work in the archives with hundreds of survivors of the residential schools called me out of my ignorance, out of my prejudice, out of my fear, through relationship. And isn't that what Christ calls us to? Relationship. Christ used relationship with survivors to call me out from the grave of racism and ignorance, like Jesus calling Lazarus from the tomb. My adoptive father, Coyote Terry Alec, was the first residential school survivor in Canada to bring legal action against the Anglican Church of Canada. For many years, he couldn't be in a room with a white person. For many years, I didn't want to be in a room with an Indigenous person. And now we call each other family. I go to family dinners, and I'm called daughter and sister and auntie. This is what relationship looks like. This is what reconciliation can look like. And this can only happen, I believe, through Christ. As the disciples were changed and blessed by journeying with Jesus, so we are changed and blessed when we journey with the oppressed and dispossessed, as Christ did and as Christ was oppressed and dispossessed. I can imagine that along the way the disciples missed their nets. This work is not easy. They might have missed their families and questioned the path they were on. We know that they stumbled along the way. They bickered with one another. They fell asleep in the garden at the crucial moment. But not only is Christ gracious and patient with us, he also gives us both the example to follow and the strength and the courage to do it. great news, no one is excluded. No one is excluded from this call to reconciliation. The uncomfortable and life-changing journey of reconciliation and justice-seeking is open to and waiting for all who are willing to be transformed by it. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.